head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat 40. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanter, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And this is the Rusty Satellite Show. This is your host, Rick Redding, back with you for the 222nd week in a row on the Rusty Satellite Show. Every week I bring you two of the most interesting people in the Ville as my guest on the show. This week is no exception. I'll get to my guest in a minute. First up, I want to thank my friends at Passport Health Plan for sponsoring this show. They've been done it since almost the beginning. That's like 4.5 years, folks. That's really, really great stuff. We just extended our association for a little bit longer as part of what I do for Passport. I had an opportunity this week to do a story for Insider Louisville on, and as you know, October, Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and really got to talk to a very interesting woman, Sarah Gorman, who is a survivor, and the story about that and video will be posting on Insider Louisville, I believe, this week. So go check that out. It's it's a really inspiring story, as many of those who have survived breast cancer are. They are very inspiring. So anyway, this week I am going to be dropping some names. I'm going to have a segment call about name dropping, because a lot of stuff has been going on in Louisville that involves some of the people who have been on this show, who are among the 400 plus guests who have been on this show in the past, and I look forward to talking to you about that. But this week, I tell you, I brought you something. I love it when I find out something about Louisville or about somebody who lives in Louisville that I had no idea. And that is the case with Alex Raimundo. And tomorrow night, you're going to hear about this in the show, but tomorrow night at Mango's over there by the Caden Tower, they have there's a little basement area. And once a month, Alex, who is a fine comedian, hosts a comedy show there. And you're welcome to join me over there. It's $20 to get in. It's really cool. And I came across Alex, believe it or not. I picked him up as a I took him to the airport as a Lyft driver, and we got to talking. And Alex travels a lot. He is a nationally known comedian. He's part of the Latin Kings of Comedy. He's been associated with people like Cheech and Chong, Paul Rodriguez, a lot of the top comedians. And he is a partner with comedian Ron White in a business called Number One Tequila. So can you imagine that? A world famous comedian and a tequila brand owner living in Louisville, Kentucky. You know, and your first question is, why is he living in Louisville? Well, he married a Kentucky girl. He's happy to tell you about that. And I think you're gonna love our interview. Also, stay tuned in the second part of the show. I'm going to have an interview with Campbell Boyer. And I learned something else that I didn't know, that what the Mini Maker Fair is all about. It's coming to 4th Street Live, coming up on October 21st. It's a special, great event. You're going to want to stick around and hear Caroline Knopp was here with me when we did the interview here at the Louisville.am studios, and she was just fascinated. She thought it was a great interview. I hope you will, too. So stick around for that. But first up, let's get on with the show. And let's get on with Alex Raimundo, who goes by the sort of funny nickname. He's Hispanic, and he's a rednexican. That's right. Owing to his Mexican roots, he was born in Mexico, lived in Texas a long time, and now is in with all us hillbillies in Kentucky. He's really an entertaining guy. I hope you'll enjoy it. And join me Friday night at Mango's, and we'll... We'll watch the Number One comedy show.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
That is some good tequila, Alex Raimundo. Welcome to the Louisville.am studios.
Thank you very much, Ricky. You know, I love introducing myself this way to people with a nice glass of tequila in my hand.
It's a good way to break the ice.
I tend to make
so to
friends
speak.
That way.
Yeah, it's very good. Well, it's a very special tequila, number one tequila, and this one I'm having. You told me, is this the one that is...
That's the Extra Añejo. Extra Añejo, it's aged 3.5 years in a retired bourbon barrel, 5 gold medals out of 4 national festivals, blind taste tests.
That's really cool. But I think our listeners are really going to be interested in your fascinating life story, journey from Mexico to Texas to Kentucky. And
Witness Protection Program.
There you go. As a comedian, as you can tell, folks. But let's start with this whole thing. You're in Kentucky because of a girl.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of it's what has led men from across the world to this nation for centuries. Your women, and I got to tell you something. I am so not only in love with my wife, but I'm proud of her in a million ways. But I sing her praises. I genuinely. To all the cities I go to in states across the country, I recommend Kentucky women to the world. I really do. I mean, I've traveled this entire nation and just this whole Ohio Valley, Kentucky area. I just they're beautiful. They're hillbilly. You know, they're tenacious. They're all the things you should seek in a partner.
I've seen some clips of your act, and you've successfully combined this whole Mexican heritage with this Kentucky living that you do. The name of your next special combines it perfectly, right?
Yeah, Rednexican.
Rednexican. So you're a Rednexican.
Yeah, and you know, the truth is, I'm a Southern boy. I mean, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas, so I'm very much a Southern. I mean, listen to my voice, you know. But that's it kind of just fit me perfect when I got here. I remember the first time I went to my wife's family reunion. Her mother comes from a family of 14 brothers and sisters.
Wow.
And so immediately when I walked in, it looked to me like one of my family reunions, or not even a reunion, because when I grew up, every probably 3 days a week, my family would gather, much to the chagrin of our neighbors. But so it just seemed, it felt like my family with, as I said before, a tanning problem. You know, it looked like them, but it sounded and felt like them, but it didn't look like them.
So your wife's family sort of welcomed you, and now she's from J-Town, is that correct?
You know,
I'm from out there. I read something where
she's from J-Town. Part of her family is from out in the barge town in the the little town out there. Out in that area.
Okay.
You know, her father's family comes from there. Her mother's family is from the J-Town area. And they did welcome me right away. Well, kind of a funny thing, as I was being introduced to all these characters, and her aunts are just wonderful, and uncles. But my father-in-law led me. He said, come here, I got somebody you got to meet. And he leads me to the grill. You know, uh-huh. There's family members, cousins, everyone coming at me, kids. And this is before we were married. And he introduces me. There's a guy named Chili. They go, you got to meet Chili. I look up. Chili turns around, and it's a Mexican. Chili
really?
Looks at me with a deeper Southern accent than mine, and he goes, I've been waiting for you for 35 years. And it turns out Chili, his name is Chili. Well, everybody names him. Everybody calls him Chili. And I asked, I said, half of them didn't really know his real name. And Chili doesn't even speak Spanish. Turns out he's adopted by a family here in Kentucky. Has absolutely no, you know, Mexican heritage to him, but he's as brown as – he's browner than me.
Yeah.
He's browner than me. He looks like he could be any mariachi band, the bass player.
Okay. Well, I want to get to talking about tequila, but first let's tell our listeners a little bit. I mean, it's amazing to me when I looked you up online and on YouTube and all that you're living here in Kentucky, because you're – reputation as a comedian is national.
Yeah.
And you and I guess through your partnership with Ron White, who a lot of people around here also know about.
Right. Well, I wouldn't say I'm national because of Ron. Ron and I are both national across the country because of our own individual careers. What made me national was really the help of Paul Rodriguez. You know, I jumped into Los Angeles many years ago and right away caught the attention of Paul Rodriguez. And he said, hey, you know, you're kind of different. And so I started opening shows for him, which within about 2 years turned into a little film called The Latin Kings of Comedy with Cheech, Paul Rodriguez, George Lopez, Joey Medina, and myself. But at the same
Good
time,
stuff.
Ron was doing the Blue Collar Tour, which Ron and I had an earlier history because we started right. stand-up together. And so now, you know, so now Ron and I have been friends for 30 years.
But business partners. Let's go ahead and get to that part of the story, because I think it's fascinating that this thing that's on your website says that you guys, you know, hooked up and started drinking.
On day one. Not just drinking, Ricky. Mm-hmm. Anything. Ron and I had a rule. In
1986.
In 1986, September of 1986, we started this venture. But he and I, to this day, maintain a rule. If anybody, while we're with each other, on this tour, which we used to call the Joy to the World Tour, if anybody hands you something to drink, smoke, or snort, you got to do it. And we've always maintained that rule. And luckily, we've grown out of the snorting part. I mean, that was early in our career. That was in our youth when we were just dumb. But we still kind of maintain that rule. But I'll tell you, we also both maintain a seriously strict work ethic. I mean, I don't think anybody works harder in this business than Ron White. The only person I can think of that does more shows on a regular basis than me is Ron White.
Wow.
But he does them at a much higher level.
Yeah.
You know, I'm doing it for 500. He's doing 2,000.
Yeah, I was looking at your tour schedule, and you're on the road every month.
Three to four weekends out of each year. Forgive me.
Well, this is a good time to bring up something that a lot of Louisvillians don't know about, but a great opportunity to see some national comedy acts. You have this sort of underground comedy.
Yeah. Here. Yeah. You know, and I have to give praise to the Louisville scene before I plug what I'm doing. You know, from day one when I came here, when I met my wife, when she was my girlfriend, you know, Tom Sobel and the Comedy Caravan were just great to me.
Tom's been on the show.
Yeah. And he took me in with open arms. I mean, I was a Southern guy with a Mexican look, and he said, man, you know, people are going to dig this. And they did right away. And so the comedy audience in Louisville has always been great. And I've played the Comedy Caravan, the Derby, every incarnation of it.
Okay.
I played the Improv. I played the Palace. I played the Horseshoe. But I just kind of decided, because all the people I know would always say, when are you performing in town? When are you going to? And it's usually not but every 2 years.
Right.
And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to kill three birds with one stone. One, I need to be home more often. Two, I always have to do stand-up. Three, I've got this tequila to promote. So we decided to open our own little Number One comedy show. We try to do it once a month, the first weekend of every month. And we've kind of done that because of my schedule. Sometimes I can't make it. But our next show is this coming Friday, not tomorrow. October 6th. Friday, October 6th.
No one knows when we're recording this,
right?
but they know when they're hearing it.
The magic of radio.
There you go. So, and it's at a place that, I mean, I was, my eyes were open because at a place I've never heard of comedy being performed or anything else being performed. And tell me about the venue.
The venue is Mango's Restaurant. They have two locations, and we're at the one on Dutchman's Lane. And it kind of happened by chance. Like everything in my life, it just happens by chance. And I'm a great impulse buyer. You know, I see something and I kind of just have the thoughts in my head to say, grab it. I was promoting my tequila. I'm talking to the guys at Mango's, as I did to almost every restaurant in this town. And they're showing me their location. And he said, you want to see the basement? And I was like, you got a basement? And so that right over off of Dutchman's Lane, I walked down, and it's a perfect little room, seats 90, very comfortably, dark. But, of course, it was just a shell. And I said, oh, my God, we should do a show here. And he goes, what are you talking about? I said, I'm a national touring comedian, and we should do a show. And we did that. That was last year in July. Not this year, but last year in July. Yeah. And we sold, he said, well, I don't know. I sold 140. We put 143 people down there. Just theater style, just chair after chair, no tables. And the owner was so blown away. He was like, can you do that every month? And I said, no, I can't come back here every month. But then I realized I can host a show every month and bring in some of my friends from across the country, which is what we've been doing. And now we've got tables. We spent some money, put a PA system in, put the lights, all the things you need in a comedy room. You know, even Tom Sobel came and gave us his blessing. Yeah. He looked at it and said, this is perfect. And Tom's always wonderful about giving his advice and what to do. Because he just wants to cultivate comedy.
And he's got a story about it too.
And he does. But he's always about nurturing and cultivating comedy in the Louisville area.
Well, that's all great. And remember audience. You heard it here first. The comedy at Mango's, the first weekend of every month, October 6th, be a chance to go. It's $20 to get in, right?
$20 to get in. Great deal. We got a guy named Dwight Simmons coming in as our featured act this month. Okay. And tickets are at numberjuancomedy.com. Buy them online because we fill the room up, and they're on sale now, numberjuancomedy.com. And, of course, I'll be there.
There you go.
And I'll host the whole thing. And I keep it all together with laughter and tequila.
Well, I'm going to try to get over there for sure. Now, tequila. We got time to talk a little bit about tequila. What you just said, going to all the restaurants in town and all that. I'm curious, where are you having the most success? What restaurants sell a lot of number one?
You know what? It's kind of funny because all kinds of different restaurants and bars carry it now. I mean, Stevie Ray's moves a bunch of our tequila. You know, obviously, Ramito's on Frankfurt, Mango's, Gustavo's restaurant, Mexican restaurants, you know. Yeah. But our place, you know, the little place at the volleyball courts, they carry it. I don't even know how many places we're in now. We're at 8 Up. That
very
place.
Cool spot.
Some really nice places. Yeah. The sidebar.
Which brings me to I've got to get in this one story, this one you told me before about how you and Ron got into the tequila business. I think it's just a fascinating origin story, I guess.
Well, it all happened the first day Ron White ever did stand up comedy. He literally walked into a bar. Stand-up comedy
that
show.
That sounds like a joke, man.
Yeah,
walked into a bar.
He walked into a bar. He was about to do his first night of amateur night comedy. First time Ron White ever walks on a stage. He's got an ugly sweatshirt on. He's very short hair and a cowboy hat, big smile. And he's nervous. He's afraid. He goes to the bar, orders a Budweiser, a shot of tequila, and on that day, Alex Raimundo was the bartender. We began drinking and smoking and partying that night. We spent 3 years of our lives touring together as you know, young working comics, making $100 a week or something. And
which is the fascinating, though, sort of almost typical story of a comedian's life, right?
Yeah.
And all that. But then this thing happened. Tequila, this opportunity came up with
we both kind of exploded and became headliners of comedy clubs. Still, that doesn't mean anybody knows your name. And we couldn't work together anymore. I went on to do the Latin Kings of Comedy with Cheech, Paul, and George. Ron went on to do the Blue Collar Tour with Jeff, Bill, and Larry. And then when those tours ended, Ron called me and said, hey, buddy, I'm no longer working with these guys. You're no longer working with those. Why don't we get back together, do what we used to do, but at a whole new level and have some fun, which is what we started doing. And about that time, Ron and I went down to Mexico just to drink tequila, like you do wine country, you know. And we discovered a little distillery that makes, in my opinion, and now look at all the medals we've won. People are starting to say it, the best tequila in the world. And I looked at the guy. I just wanted a couple bottles. I said, I'll take two. Ron said, I'll take two. And then I just happened to ask him. I said, this is beautiful tequila. I'm going to help you. I want to buy some. Who sells it in the U.S.? What's the name of the label in the U.S.? What state? Where do I have to go to buy it? And he said, it does not exist in the U.S. And again, it was an impulse buy. Ron and I couldn't let it go. So
then the light bulb went off.
Yeah, the light bulb. We created our own label, and Ron and I became partners again, but now in a business venture, because it goes hand in hand with what we do. The tequila feeds the comedy feeds the tequila, and
a lot of comedians are distributing tequila around the world, I guess.
But we're having a ball. We're having a ball doing it. And I got to tell you, I keep saying we're not selling anything. We're just trying to put everybody in the same mood that Ron and I are in. Is all we're doing, which is a pretty damn good mood.
It's working on me right now. I'm sipping on some of this great tequila aged in bourbon barrels, and I think it's overlooked around here. I think tequila is a spirit. Maybe.
Well, you know, I got to say, in the words of Tom Sobel, we are preaching the gospel of tequila in the land of bourbon, and no one saw us coming. You know, I mean, I just got a call yesterday from the Bourbon Social Society in Lexington, and they've invited Number Juan Tequila to be present in October because through the liquor barns, they have determined that Number Juan is the number one requested bourbon barrel aged spirit that is not bourbon.
Wow.
And that's pretty nice stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Alex. But I say it's been a great pleasure meeting you and learning about the, you're the number one comedian selling tequila that I've ever met.
Well, hey, to all your listeners, thank you for supporting. You know, I mean, yeah.
Come on out October 6th.
Come on out October 6th. Tickets at numberjuancomedy.com, and I promise you, you will have fun. I promise you, I will drink some tequila with you, and I promise you, you will leave being a fan of my stand-up, Dwight's stand-up, and Number Juan Tequila.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. It comes out on Louisville.am.
And there you go. My favorite Hispanic, Alex Raymundo. He's a really wonderful guy. He is good friends also with Tom Sobel, who's been on this show. I'm going to be dropping a lot of names. Tom is the booker who books comedy acts. He's associated with, you remember his show was, he was on the show, I don't know, a couple months ago, something like that. He's the king of local comedy, and a lot of people owe him a debt of gratitude. And he told me about Alex, but I'd never met him. And fortunately, just happened to pick him up to take him to the airport. And there we go. The rest is history. All right. I love doing this show, and I was just looking at the download stats, and a lot of you out there are listening as well. It's very popular for a local show, not associated with any mainstream media outlets. It is, and it is 4.5 years old, nearly. All right, so we've had a lot of guests in our past, and I want to highlight some of them are making big news in town this week, especially. I guess the in this period, I always perk up when I hear about somebody that's been on the show doing something cool. So here comes our name dropping segment. All right, first of all, Angela Leet, Metro Councilwoman for District 7. You know her. She's been on the Metro Council since 2014. She announced this week that she is running for mayor against another person who's been on the show, Greg Fisher, our incumbent mayor, who is running for his third term. And Angela, I admire her for running. The Republicans need to put somebody up. I do not think, in my opinion, at this point in the game, that she has much of a chance to win. And I was a little distressed that she that one of her first campaign things, she's decided that there's not really a scandal or anything like that to, you know, she can't really run down Fisher too much. But she says she said something to the effect of, it's time to quit talking about bike lanes and talking about more important stuff. So the assumption is that she has decided that enough people in her voter base are fed up with the bike lane movement in the city, championed by Mayor Fisher, that they think they can make that a campaign issue, that they can make people hate Fisher because there's so many bike lanes in town. Well, I tell you what, I'm all for the bike lanes. Most people I know are. And, you know, if you don't have a better issue to criticize your opponent about than bike lanes, I don't know that you're going to be successful in your campaign. But I love Angela. She's a nice person, and I hope it's a spirited campaign in coming up next year. It's going to be interesting. We've got elections coming up. We'll be talking about some of the Metro Council races, and there's some interesting things going on in town for that. All right, changing the subject. You guys remember John Ramsey, who was on this show in June of 2016, and I love it because he made time for me during one of the busiest weeks of his life as he was preparing. It was right after Muhammad Ali's death, and John was a big part of that as a close friend of Ramsey. Well, he's back on the radio. I don't know if you noticed. If you're not into sports talk radio, you may not be aware of this, but there was a little dispute in the little world of sports talk radio, and this show Ramsey did with Mike Rutherford, it left one station, and they had a six-month non-compete, and now the 6 months is over, and they're on again. And Rutherford, by the way, I have had some exchanges with him. I'm going to get him on the show. He has a book coming out called, it's coming out this month, it's 100 Things You Need to Know as a Louisville Fan. And given all the, well, let's face it, controversy going on over at the University of Louisville and the athletic department, you know, it's interesting timing for the book. It's probably helped his sales, and I have talked to him about being on the show, and I think we'll be able to schedule that in the next week or two. So that's very exciting. And if you want to tune in, I think if I can get all my call letters right, Ramsey and Rutherford are now on 790 KRD. Now, that's the one that is more more of a pro U of L station. And the other big sports talk radio station is KRD, is 680, which is associated with ESPN. I know our former guest Lachlan McLean is over there, and you know, this there's just so much interest. I guess I assume there's interest when they do all these hours of talk about what's going on in the U of L athletic department. I assume that there's a lot of people that are really, really interested in that. Central figure to that story was guest on the show. It might be fun, you know, Rusty Satellite Show. If you go on the website, we have an archive of all the interviews I've done, and there is one from Tom Jurich back in September of 15. Tom Jurich, the athletic director at U of L, who is on paid administrative leave right now, and there's a lot of speculation about whether he'll be back or not. It's very interesting if you go listen to the interview from September 15. He was in a great, great mood. It was actually the week before the stripper scandal with Katina Powell hit. And I remember talking to friends about it. Man, I wish I could have gotten that interview after that happened. But, of course, in that case, he probably wouldn't have done it, I don't think. Nor would he do it like now, I think. But U of L, as you know, named a new interim athletic director on Tuesday. On Tuesday. His name is Vince Tyree. I didn't know much about him before, except that his father was a great All-American athlete at the university. And you know, the jury's still out. They've just started basketball practice with new coach David Padgett, and we'll see how it goes with the new AD. I think there is a meeting October 18th with U of L that is going to discuss the fate of Mr. Jurich. And as far as I can tell, the populace is evenly decided about whether he should stay or whether he should permanently leave. So we'll see. Also, you know, right in the middle of all this, just to drop another name, Kenny Klein was a guest on this show back in May of 2015, and that's an interesting interview as well. He has a very complex job, as do all the people in media relations over there at the university. I was talking to some of my friends over there, and I heard about the number of phone calls that John Carman is getting. John Carman is a former Business First reporter. He was there when I was there back in the late 90s, and there for many years after that, and until he took this job with the University of Louisville, and now he is... remember when President Obama was elected? You know, he had all his hair was brown, and by the time he left office 8 years later, it was mostly gray. I think that's sort of similar things happened to John. He's got a lot more gray hair now than he did then. Of course, so do I. So, you know, who's talking, right? All right, I want to tell you one thing I did last night involves somebody that was on this show. You remember the great local musicians, Ben Solee. Yes, he plays the cello. He's really cool. He was on the show in February of 15th when he was doing some work with Actors Theater. And I tell you, I had seen him perform before solo, but I had not seen him with his band as I did Saturday night at the Nulu Festival. And man, that was something else. It was a show to see. Ben's band includes a guy on the fiddle / violin. He's got a banjo player. He's got a guy on percussion and a bass and a guy who plays bass. And man, they just rocked it out. It was something to see. I have to tell you though that my girlfriend and I were talking about it, and his band, they look like just a bunch of nerds that got together and decided they'd do something cool. But from a look standpoint, that's sort of what it was. But boy, they put on a show. I really enjoyed it. I tell you who else was there, a former guest of the show, Mike Mays of Honey Brothers Coffee. I got to talk to him for a minute. And, of course, Gil Holland was celebrating the 15th anniversary of Sonoblast Records. He was on here. He was here last week when we talked, and that was really cool. All right, another big story in town. We're talking about radio, and Matt Jones with Kentucky Sports Radio, a guy a lot of people around here love to hate. You got to admit it. I respect Matt, and I like what he's doing, the way he involves his audience. I don't like what he says a lot of times, and certainly he's in the news. He got sued this week. Yeah, he got sued. If you remember that referee that refereed the game, the last game of the year that they had. And, you know, here's a personal thing for me. It ticks me off when somebody loses a game and blames it on the refs, which is what a lot of Kentucky fans did after they lost their last game in the NCAA tournament. And it's just the worst of it's one of the worst traits you can have, I guess, in sports. So this referee, he had his business attacked by UK fans. I mean, his ratings. He owns a roofing company out in like Omaha or somewhere, and was subject to a lot of harassment. And a lot of the harassment was egged on by Jones and his friends at KSR Radio. Jones says this lawsuit is frivolous and will be quickly dismissed. We will see, but. Always interesting to see this referee is taking things back. His name is John Higgins, and you can Google that and get all the details of that. But on a bigger story of locally, you hear the Metro Council approved $30 million in taxpayer money for a soccer stadium on 40 acres in Butchertown this week. Now that's a big deal, and I received an email, something from Kent Euler of Greater Louisville Inc. Now he was on this show back in 14, in July of 14, and the GLI is 100% behind this development in Butchertown. It's 40 acres. It's hard to realize it's that much land, but I've driven by there. I know where it is. It would be really great. In fact, I heard a restaurant was opening in this winter. In the near proximity, in hopes that they'll get some of that energy from the soccer stadium's construction. We'll see. I'm sure that our friend Andy Bleeden over in Butchertown is very happy and is a big supporter of the soccer project. And I just think it would be really cool. It'd be interesting to see what else they can put in there, and if they can find some other uses for the soccer stadium. That would be the thing. So. Anyway, the things that are coming up this weekend, I know if you want to join me at the number one comedy event is at Mango's Restaurant over at in the Caden Tower. I'm going to be there Friday night just to see my buddy Alex, who you just heard, and that's going to be a lot of fun. I think the weekend is going to be dominated by the St. James Court Art Show, if you know the... St. James is a unique thing. Now, it's not because of the St. James Art Show, but every year Jefferson County Schools get a couple of days off on days coinciding with the art show. So that starts this weekend. We had guests on the show. We've talked about the St. James in the past, and it is a great event. It starts Friday. Thursday night, if you happen to be listening to this show on Thursday, you know that Thursday night is a UofL football game at North Carolina State, a very important game for the season. The talk of the actual playing of the games has been so overshadowed by what everything else is going on over at the University of Louisville, but this is shaping up. It is certainly the most important game that the Cardinals will have on the road, after the Clemson game. This is sort of a make or break for their season. So we'll be tuning in with that one on TV, see how the Cards do, see how Lamar Jackson does on a national stage with national TV audience watching. That'll be really something. So anyway, those are some of the things going on this week. I urge you to, as always, go out and enjoy. There's so much happening in Louisville. I'm very happy to be here, be able to do this show about the city. It's a lot of fun, the Rusty Satellite Show. All right, next up, my next guest is Campbell Boyer. And Campbell, apparently, we talked after the interview. We had met before in another life, and he has really done a lot with this Mini Maker Fair that is coming. It's the fifth year that it's been held. It started out at the Nulu Festival. It went down to Main Street for a couple of years, and now for the first time it's at 4th Street Live. What a great venue for all these people that are doing fun, creative things like inventions. There's a drone thing going on. There's virtual reality. There's all this cool stuff that we like to talk about. We really don't know what it's about. You can go down there. It's not for a couple of weeks now. It's October 21st. There's a family section, and then there's what they call Big Kid Fun. that means they'll be serving beer. And it should be a lot of fun. The Mini Maker Fair is coming up. And right now I'm going to let you hear my interview with Campbell Boyer.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And welcome back to the Rusty Satellite Show. I am with a guy who likes to have fun, right? Campbell Boyer, from what you've told me, you're just kind of a big kid.
My nieces all refer to me as a cadult.
Cadult. Okay. But I just want to go back to one thing while I got it fresh on my mind. You talked about how when we were kids, we could do dangerous things. We could blow things up.
Yes.
We could build things and create things. And now not so much.
Parents and insurance and stories have really stopped people from being able to do things. I grew up in the 70s in the Cherokee Triangle, and I joke, there was a doctor who had a World War II half track, and he had a huge pontoon boat. Whenever the Beargrass Creek flooded in Cherokee Park, and back in those days it flooded, there would be just a group of kids driving a, none of us 16, taking the half track, taking the boats, and going and floating through. We invented things. We had wars. We made stuff up. We blew things up, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not.
Oops.
Yep.
Things go boom. All right, so which brings us to why you're here, and the very exciting thing that's coming up on October 21st, Saturday, at 4th Street Live, happy to say, is the Louisville Mini Maker Fair, and you are the creator of this, and I've been to it before in other venues.
I am not the creator. I'm a co-founder of the Louisville version of it. I just want to get that out there, because the Maker Fair is, in so many ways, it's the exhibitors, it's everybody, but it is just this group area. I want to put a page on the website called Getting By With a Little Help from Our Friends, because if you ask me who made the fair, it would take me a day and a half to go through everybody's contributions over the last 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Well, let's go briefly through the history, because my memory of it is walking by at Nulu Fest and seeing all these people doing things and not knowing what's going on.
Which we didn't know either, but that sort of works.
But it looked fun. So give me a brief history of the event.
So about 5 years ago, we were looking at stuff, and there were events starting up around the country. South by Southwest was getting a lot of play, and we just started talking to a whole bunch of friends. As I said before, I grew up in Louisville. There had been some fantastic events from back on the Belvedere, where they had all the international weekends going on, mm-hmm. and they had the Oktoberfest down on Main Street for the Third Century Group. So I remember these great things happening, and I wanted to be part of having some of those things happen again. So I started talking to some friends and was doing something at the library, and someone said Dale Doherty, who had founded Make Magazine, was going to be in town the next night speaking. So we invited him to dinner, and lo and behold, through Twitter, mm-hmm. and lo and behold, he came.
Wow.
We had a great time. We were talking to him about this, and he goes, well, why don't you start with a Maker Faire? And with that, it was great. We have a playbook. So we started putting that together, a small group of us, and then lucked out in that C.C. Conway of Idea Festival listened to us and said, hey, you know, we don't have money to put into you, but I can give you some connections. She connected with Nulu Fest and Gil Holland and his group, and we had a place to be for the first year and learn as we were learning how to do things.
Okay. And doing things, just for our listeners that may not understand what all this is about, it's almost like you put a bunch of toys out in the middle of the street and invite people to come play with them. How far off is that?
It's actually, in a lot of ways, it's not that far off. It's also a show, and it's more like a show and tell from kindergarten. Hey, this is my toy. You can come play with it and see it. Do you want to do this so we can all play games together? There is some folks actually start businesses and have things going on with that.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's a great big playtime.
Okay, so people come, and like, are there any things that you've seen like invented? I mean, this is an opportunity for creativity, and,
yes,
and creative people come and they sort of say, I wonder if I could do this, and then they do it, right?
Well, what I have seen is people meet people who they then take other ideas and they take things further. I've seen people be introduced to Level One, our local hackerspace, and then decide, well, gee, this would be a fun place. I have a business idea. Can I meet some engineers or can I talk to somebody about doing something? So they've done it with that. And they also have worked now a little bit with First Build, which, although we know it as putting out really cool things like soft ice, which, again, I never knew was a thing. they also have a great space where people can learn and come in if they know how to use the tools, use some pretty cool tools, and talk to some cool engineers.
Okay, so I'm looking at your release here, some way cool things about the fair. So I don't know what those are. AR, VR Extravaganza is a brand new thing this year.
It's a brand new thing. So
I have no idea what that stands for.
Well, my way of explaining it is, I went down near Henderson for the eclipse, and I got to see the 100% eclipse. It was wild. My brother stayed here and got the 97. It was enjoyable, but not wild. A lot of people have had a small experience with, say, their camera phones and something or in there, but they haven't had the total VR experience of, oh, this is what's happening. Virtual reality. It takes too powerful a computer. So what we've got is a whole bunch of companies and people who are doing some work in that to bring their setups in and give people an opportunity to have 5, 10, or 15-minute experiences really going, oh, my goodness, this is what all the noise is about.
Yeah. What virtual reality really is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And everybody is interested in drones. What's going on with drones? I see an attack of 100 drones over 4th Street Live.
So does one of the guys who's helping work on that, which has both me and 4th Street Live rather frightened. But he mentioned that, oh, look, we can do this. The next day there was a lovely article about only 5% of injuries tend to occur from this. And was like, no, let's not do that. But what we have, a number of drone groups in Louisville, everything from tiny drones that may be 4 or 5 inches in diameter to some people with drones that have a 72-inch wingspan.
Wow.
And obviously the 72-inch wingspan will not be flying. We don't have quite the control over that. And if it does crash, there is no place for it to crash. But we do have some smaller drones, maybe the 12-inch variety, that will be racing. We will be showing on 4th Street Live's really cool Jumbotron. We'll be showing some shots of what's going on. And they've promised to do some light-up stuff and do some nighttime racing, which, again, you can actually see what the pilots are seeing as they're going around and doing stuff.
Wow.
So it's a fun experience people will be able to actually look at. There will be some drones there that people will be allowed to fly. And that actually gives me an opportunity to say something else. We've been very, very kid friendly, and we want families to come. But we've also discovered that adults, no matter how much you might want to ride the G-Force or do something else, you're not likely to push a kid out of the way to do it. And if there are four of you and it takes this time, then the parents tend to only interact with the children doing it. They don't get a chance to do this. So what we've done with First Build and 4th Street Live's help is we are doing a section between 6 and whatever, where it can be mainly focused on adults having the opportunity to do that without having to be adults and be polite. Well, you'd be polite, but not have to be kid folks.
According to your information, there are no adults. It's just big kids.
Yeah. Yes, but big kids being polite and not polite to little kids.
I want to do that because all the stuff you're talking about, and then you throw in beer. That makes for a really interesting event, I think.
All of Maker Faire and the whole thing for me has been amazing in that we trip over people who have skills. And they're all going, I want to play. So this year we were really lucky. We tripped over a young man named Sean Steele. And he goes, I want to play. And do you know what a Randall is? And do you know what this? And I'm looking at him going, huh? And he is now working with the local brewery association and has gotten a couple of brewers to say they'll sell beer, but also to show how you can add taste and flavor and such. Kentucky law doesn't allow us to actually make beer on site, but we can change beer on site.
Okay. Change beer. I think I know Sean at Akasha.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually been on the show before, so that's very.
He is awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. So that's going to be some great stuff. And but the growth of this event from its days at Nulu Fest. Now there was another location. It was down on West Main for a while.
Yes. The museums ask us to move down to West Main, and we've actually had a great time down there. And the low part of moving is the fact that the museums cannot be as involved, although majority of them will have events and such. But this little thing about like exploding sewers, the city was saying, well, we need to pretty much keep Main Street open this year and not have a lot of things closing because all of the changes that are happening in Main Street as is. So with that, they sort of encouraged us strongly, like not responding to certain things, but to consider a move. Louisville Downtown Partnership, if you know Rebecca Matheny.
Yes.
Yes. So she, her basic thing, her dad, by the way, was the leader of the letting the kids steal the stuff and take off in the Cherokee Park when we were kids. she got us in touch with 4th Street Live, and Ed Hartless and Ashley have just been, I mean, whenever we come in and say, hey, can we, they're going, yes, you know, up to and including Open Flames.
As long as you do it on 4th Street Live, right?
Yes, pretty much.
Get people down there. Well, it sounds like a great venue for it. It's congratulations on the move. And I guess people can come. Is it free?
It is free. We do ask for you to sign up on Eventbrite or Facebook.
Okay.
The big reason being that gives us an account also means it's we can send things out to you. We pay a licensing fee to make, so they want to know how many people come. We love people to come. This will also very likely be the last year of the Mini Maker Fair because Make Magazine has asked us to become a two-day event next year.
Wow.
And 4th Street Live has said, well, do you want to do it this year? To which, like, no. But so we're set up to become a full featured fair next year with more stuff and more craziness.
Okay, so it goes from mini to full,
yes.
I guess, when that happens. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to wrap it up here, but it's Saturday, October 21st, just a couple weeks from now,
mm-hmm.
at 4th Street Live. It's open to the public. Kids at from noon to 6, and then big kids with beer after 6.
It's free.
It's free. Free to everybody. So anyway, mark your calendar now. That's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait to do it and see it. And Campbell, thank you for coming in.
Look forward to seeing you there.
And there you go. Thank you, Campbell, for coming by the Louisville AM studios, as did Alex Raimundo. I was actually working ahead. I actually talked to Alex last week. And just a couple of delightful guests. I hope you enjoyed the Rusty Satellite Show. Remember that it is made possible by my friends at Passport Health Plan, our main show sponsor, and they have always been great to me and for the things that we've done here on the Rusty Satellite Show. If you'd like your business to get in front of this great audience of people interested in local, interesting people, get in touch with me, Rick Redding. You can find me on Facebook or LinkedIn or wherever you want to look. I'm easy to find, and I'd be happy to talk to you about promoting your business through this show and through LouisvilleKY.com, the Pulse of the City. That's a website that features a lot of information and news about Louisville, Kentucky, my hometown. So that's going to wrap it up. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back next week with two or more of the most interesting people in the Bill.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.